The reading this morning is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 27, verses 1 to 11. It's subtitled Zelophehad's Daughters. The daughters of Zelophehad, son of Belpher, son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clan of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They came forward and stood before Moses. Eleazar, the priest, the leaders of the whole assembly at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and said, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers, who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he has no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father has no brother, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan, that they may possess it. This is to have the force of the law for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I bet you're all asking, what the earth did she choose that reading for? I can see it on your faces, and I saw it coming. But what I want to talk to you about with regard to that reading is, first of all, something from the actual text, something this reading's got something to tell us about how we make decisions for the community. And secondly, just want to tell you a little story about how a guy reading that passage, just over 8 centuries ago, changed the whole life of Britain and still affects us today. So, this is the story of five little girls. Now, if you've ever read the Book of Numbers, you probably know there's a lot of lists of names in there. There really are a lot of lists of names. And apart from a couple of mentions of Moses' sister, Miriam, all the names in the Book of Numbers, except the five little girls you heard today, are men. And so the fact that somebody's actually included the name of five little girls, it shows how remarkable they must have been. And how do I know they're little girls? Well, the very last chapter in the Book of Numbers, which takes place a few years after the events in the reading you've heard, none of them are married yet. And in those days, girls got married more or less straight away after puberty. So we've got the story here of five little girls, the oldest of whom must have been 12 or 13. And they managed to change the law, deal with a serious injustice, and, in fact, what they did, as I said, even changed the whole of the history of Britain several centuries later. Five little girls. Just what did you imagine? Faith and Grace and three of their friends going up to Boris Johnson and the Archbishop of Canterbury and tell them the law is unjust in Britain, it needs to be changed. And I want you to think how likely they are that anyone would take any notice of them. Well, it was about as likely that anyone was going to take any notice of Zelophehad's daughters. People didn't tend to take much notice of little girls of that age in those days, and let's be fair, they don't really nowadays either. Probably don't take much notice of very elderly ladies either, or of immigrants who don't speak very good English. I'm sure you can think of plenty of other people who, in general, the people who make the decisions don't take any notice of what they're saying. Well, that was the case with these five girls. And what's more, we know it was them. Because let's be fair, if it had been their uncles or their male cousins who had pushed them to it, we know which names would have appeared in the Bible. And no, it is the five little girls, and they walked up to Moses, their political leader, Eleazar, their spiritual leader, and they said, "The law is unjust. Please change it." Now, Moses and Eleazar, unlike the majority of male political and even religious leaders that we have around nowadays, had a doubt. The whole idea that girls could inherit in those days was something that obviously hadn't crossed anybody's mind. But Moses, possibly because his own life had been saved as a child through the act of his sister, who was about 8 or 9 at the time, his mum, and 2 female, obviously, midwives, he knew that it was sometimes a good idea to listen to little girls. And so he asked the Lord, probably expecting the answer as, "No, you don't need to do anything." But he asked the Lord, and the priest asked the Lord, and the Lord said, "The little girls are right." And the law changed. And the fact that the law changed, let's be fair, what did it do? It meant that in future, orphaned girls would have money and power over their own destiny. It meant that they would no longer have some uncle or remote cousin telling them what to do, and that they'd be entirely dependent on them for all money and education and everything. And the Lord said, "The girls are right, you should listen to them." And the law changed. Which gives a message to leaders today and everyone, because of course what's important is whether the idea comes from the Lord, it's not who brings the idea. And of course we perhaps can ask for those of us who, whether it's in our jobs, in our churches or anywhere, have any responsibility, do we work on that principle? Do we listen to the people who don't usually have a voice? Do we listen to everybody's ideas, whoever they may be, and ask the Lord, is that idea right? I somewhat suspect that quite a lot of political leaders at least don't, but that's a different matter. Now, about 3,000 years after these five little girls took the courage into their own hands and walked up to Moses and made their presentation, it was probably quite difficult for them to do it, because I'm sure all their relations would say, don't be silly, Moses has got more important things to deal with. About 3,000 years later, in the 12th century, in Britain, there was a guy called Robert of Gloucester. You've probably not heard of him unless you read Ellis Peters' the Cadfael novels or you've watched the series on the TV. Robert of Gloucester was one of Henry I's numerous illegitimate children. He had about 20 of them. But Robert was also a great soldier. But Robert was also a great man for another reason. He read the Bible regularly. Now, in those days, that was very rare if you weren't a priest, because Bibles were copied out by hand by monks. A Bible cost approximately a year's salary to buy. A Bible was a very, very precious item, and so you could only actually have access to one to read it if you came from a very wealthy and important family. Fortunately for Robert, he did. His dad was the king. But also, it was in Latin. Couldn't have no Bibles in English in those days, so you had to be able to read Latin, and that sort of meant that at least 9/10 of the population weren't going to be able to do it, probably more in the 12th century. And also, it was quite inconvenient. You couldn't just carry a Bible around in your pocket in these days, because they were so valuable that they were kept in safe places. So you actually probably had to go into a church or into a library to be able to read it. But Robert was a very, very rare, ordinary person, layman, a soldier. He read the Bible. And he read the Bible regularly. And then suddenly there was a crisis in the land. Some of you may have heard of that there was a disaster. It's sometimes known as the medieval Titanic disaster. There was a ship called the White Ship, and it was sunk on its maiden voyage, and 300 of the most important young people in England were drowned, including the heir to the throne. And within a very short time after that, the king died, leaving only one legitimate child, a daughter called Matilda. Now, at that point in British history, nobody listened much to girls either. Nobody thought, or very few people had thought, that it was suitable for Matilda to reign over the country. And her cousin Stephen came in and said, as it's she's obviously not suitable being a girl, I want to be king. And to start with, Robert had gone along with that because it seemed like the logical thing to do. And then, as he was praying one night, apparently God seemed to say to him, didn't you read something in the book of Numbers? And Robert went and looked it up. And he read the verse that you heard this morning saying that if a man dies and has no sons, his daughter should inherit. And suddenly Robert's life turned upside down. And he was extremely brave to tell Stephen, I'm sorry, I can't support you anymore. I think that the word of the God is telling me that England should be allowed to have queens and not just kings up to that point. He got the church to agree with him, and that must have been difficult too. Particularly as one of Stephen's brothers was one of the most important bishops at the time. But Robert got an agreement of principle that the word of the Lord said that girls can be queens, that a girl can inherit the throne of England. Now, in that particular kind, it didn't work out. There was basically 20 years of civil war and nobody ruined over England, in particular the periods called the anarchy in history. But the principle had been accepted. And so when, in the Tudor period, we had people like Mary and Elizabeth I who came along, nobody objected on principle. Some people objected to them from other reasons, but not because they were women. Same applied when Mary, Queen Anne, Queen Victoria turned up, and we have a queen today. And queens would not have been possible if, in the 12th century, Robert had not read his Bible and said, the Lord says that if a man dies without a son, his daughter should inherit. And that wouldn't have happened if five little girls under the age of 13 had not had the courage to go out and stand in front of Moses and in front of Eliezer and say the law is unjust. They got a change in the law. Robert Gloucester got a change in the law because he took the Bible seriously and the word of God seriously. Now, what am I saying to all of us today about this? Well, first of all, there's the obvious thing. When somebody comes up with an idea and says the law is unjust, it doesn't matter who it is who's saying it, we should listen to them. We should come to the Lord and ask him, is the law unjust? And even if it's highly inconvenient for us, if the Lord does say that the law is unjust, then we should try and do something about it. Because you never know when you will be listened to. The girls were probably quite surprised that they did listen to them and that they changed the law and they changed the future for thousands and thousands of little girls. And Robert of Gloucester, what can we learn from him? Well, first of all, he read the whole Bible, not just the interesting passages, not just the bits that are absolutely essential for our salvation, not just the bits that we know and are familiar with. He read the whole Bible, including passages that people think, what on earth are they for? And when a crisis arose, what he'd read in the past came back to him. And he was able to apply that to the crisis. Now, I'm sure we all know things about when crises arise at the moment, because let's be fair, like for Robert, quite a lot of things we weren't expecting have happened recently. But you can only apply the Word of God to what you, the crisis when it arises, if you've already read it, and if it can come back, if you already know it's there. So perhaps that's another thing we can learn from it. Read the whole Bible, a lot of it, not just the bits that we read regularly. And also, sometimes it needs just that courage to say, to stand up and say, the law is wrong, there is injustice in the land. What is happening is not what the Lord wants. And as I said, five little girls, and then 3,000 years later, one illegitimate son of the king did that. And, well, that's reasons why we have a very nice godly queen in England at the moment. You never know what the consequences are going to be from reading the Bible. You never know what the consequences are going to be from standing up and saying what is happening in this country is not just. And so, passage which you were all wondering what it's about, I hope that there's something you'd be able to get out of it and that we can apply to our life today, even though at first sight it wasn't terrifically promising. May God be with you.